You just tuned in to Set for Success with Richard Lannan. Yep, your host. What are we going to be doing? We're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, or life. And we're going to do this through what? Chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes, to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. Now, if you tune into the show, you know I love quotes. And so here's my quote for the day. Success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you did the best to become the best you are capable of becoming. This is from John Wooden from basketball. No, he was actually John Robert Wooden, and he was an American basketball player and head coach for the University of California, Los Angeles, nicknamed the Wizard of Westwood. The Wizard of Westwood. What a cool nickname. He won 10 NCAA national championships in 12 years, period. And he's the head coach, or was the head coach, of UCLA. And he actually won several of those championships, I guess, 7 years in a row. Sad to say, he passed away in 2010. People becoming successful is a topic that I think about a lot. And I wonder, what makes a person great at what they do? Is it a willingness to try something different, to step out of their comfort zone just to go for it? Or does it have something to do with a plan of action, and then maybe skillfully implementing it, that plan, to until they are successful? There are many, many factors that contribute to a person's success. I often like to think about sports, and playing sports on a team is, a good place to start, especially from a coaching perspective, especially when you get good coaching. Does that for the players, or what does it mean for the players overall? For example, it should teach you maybe about a little bit about passion for the game and for what you're doing, the importance of having the right attitude, preparation, endurance, perseverance. Other important life lessons maybe you might get from sports and working with a coach could be that the idea of fair play, or the win is really for the team over the individual. I guess we could actually even have a Star Trek moment and quote Spock, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few." I suspect you can apply that same principle to your business, in your career, and in your life, with your family and your friends. Really, isn't success about peace of mind? Self-satisfaction, knowing you truly did your best in becoming the best you can be today and maybe every other day? Think about that for a moment. That is my sort of thought for right now. So as I was actually thinking about today's show, and as I thought, what would I do? I wondered, who did I know? Who could I meet that could share their story, their work, their career, their life with us? The person we're going to chat with today struck out on their own after a change in career. And I often like to call it an invitation to a preferred future as an entrepreneur. Wouldn't you love an invitation to your preferred future? They took their skills, their professional expertise, and molded it from a company of one professional of an organization into a thriving company today in our economy. I truly love it when I meet a woman entrepreneur who's decided to step up and step out to receive the success that they deserve. And I think that applies to my guest today. Janice Gehr, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard. It's always fun to be on your show.
I know. You know what? You were here with me years and years ago. I don't remember. I think we met maybe about 4 years ago or so.
Yes.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Why don't we start off with a basic question and just have you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Thanks. So my name is Janice, and after working 25 years with an organization, I branched out to become an entrepreneur. And it's been a fascinating journey. I'm in year three, and our business is growing and expanding, and I'm excited.
You're quite excited. Before we get into the business, because I know just before we actually kicked off the show, you were telling me about some of the great things that you've had to happen in the last few years, 3 years, and also the things that you're working on right now. But let's talk a little bit about Janice. Tell us a little bit about yourself personally.
Sure. So born and raised in Winnipeg, and have a husband, been married for 26 years, and two lovely daughters, 20 and 17, and a small 5-pound Yorkie Pom who rules the home, actually.
Rules the house. So we know who actually runs things at home. It's the dog.
That's right. That's right.
That's actually quite funny. Yeah. Well, from my perspective, okay, you'd have to have them look at it from where I come from. I have a sister who's a bit of a dog nut, and very common, she has like three dogs or whatever, and it's like, who rules the home? The dogs rule the home. Now, you started off a business roughly 3 years ago. What's the name of the company?
Well, I have two businesses. One is my own executive coaching company called Janice Gehr Executive Coaching and Consulting. And I started doing some executive coaching, hung out my shingle, and very quickly, about 6 months later, I started a second company with my business partner, Haley Heslin, based in Saskatoon. And we met each other at the Royal Roads Executive Coaching Program. And our focus has shifted to really looking at leadership, in particular, enhancing emotional intelligence in leaders.
Yeah. So I have the background a little bit on mm-hmm. this. But when we're talking about emotional intelligence, why don't we try to get a little bit of definition to that? What do we mean by enhancing emotional intelligence in executives?
Sure. So as we know, we need our leaders to be technically and professionally competent at what they do. But largely what we like them to do too is to be able to coach others, provide insight and innovation, and be authentic. And so that comes with managing your own emotions, understanding what they are, and being able to inspire others. So we do a combination of assessment and coaching with leaders.
Now, that's been quite the journey because really you started off on your own and now you've actually built this with your partner mm-hmm. where you have like several people associated with you. How big are you guys now?
Yeah, so now we have, in addition to the two of us, we have five associates with us who are all professionals that have their own independent practices, but we've come together so that we can work on larger projects and also bring together more expertise to service our clients.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, actually. We often talk about the road, like when you first started. So let's go back. I mean, how would you sort of describe your experience when you first sort of stepped up and decided, I think I'm going to go do this?
Yeah, well, it's a combination of I think I know what I'm doing, but then I don't think I know what I'm doing. And so at one point, you decide to just step into it. And I think at the front end, there's a bit of apprehension about whether or not what you're bringing to the market is going to be picked up. But along the way, something happens and you start realizing that the market will decide what it wants. And when you're open to growth and learning and shifting your offerings, you do eventually find sort of that way.
So you sort of found your niche along the way.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break. When we come back, I think we'll talk about finding your focus and then the experience of growing a business. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Janice Gehr today. We've just been talking about her business. So she just sort of stepped up and stepped out and started a business and individually and then with a partner and just sort of found her way. Now, just before the break, we were talking about the whole idea of the market will tell you what it wants or in some way you'll find your way in your niche. Maybe you could explain that a little bit to our listeners.
Sure. So I think at the front end of starting my business, I was often comparing myself to what other service providers may have, skills, accreditations, certifications, and often feeling short of the mark. And then at one point, you realize you sort of got to go with what you got. And when you go with what you got, you're showing up in such an authentic way that I think it really does allow you to connect with clients, potential clients, and be able to offer them great service based on what they need.
So I love that expression, you got to go with what you got. Like mm-hmm. it's like you could take quotation marks and write something around that. So when you say you got to go with what you got, I don't know how to phrase this. What is it that you have? What is it that you went with?
Yeah. So I call it the famous three, which is grit, grace, and gratitude.
Oh, right on. You had an answer for that. I wasn't too sure if I was setting up a good question or not. But okay, so explain the three G's.
Sure.
And it goes with your last name, which begins with a G. Awesome.
Who knew? Yeah. So with grit, I mean, there's a lot of heavy lifting, I think, that goes with the front end of starting a business. understanding how to incorporate, all of those types of things that you need to do. There's also the grit around the internal work that you have to do, believing in yourself, those types of things, and barriers you might have to move.
And I also think grit, when you say the internal work, I mean, there's one thing, I know that you come from a corporate background, and you were quite senior, and and you had people that would do stuff for you. And I know I experienced this when I left the big world, right, and left the corporate world and formed the brave world. I suddenly had to do everything myself. And that must be a lot of grit involved there, too.
Grit and gratitude around having two younger children who are so IT savvy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you had internal support.
Yeah. And so, you know, grace and gratitude around learning to reach out, knowing what you don't know, and learning to reach out, and remarkable things happen. Very accomplished people step forward to help you. You know, family members may step forward to help you if that's what you want. And you just slowly find your way.
You know, I like that whole idea of grit, grace, and gratitude gives you the gears. So I'm playing with your last name a little bit. Yeah. Because it really does sort of sum up the experience of starting something on your own, doesn't it?
And, you know, gratitude around, you know, give something to get something. And sometimes that can be... you know, being able to give your service, something that you're good at, in my case, coaching, emotional intelligence, leadership development. But then where the gratitude comes is once you've shared what you have, they're able to refer you to other people and help you get on your way. So it's really a very nice approach.
I sometimes use the word prosperity, prosperous approach. And I know that in the dictionary, if you read prosperity, the first definition is sort of about wealth and everything, but if you dig deeper into the word, it's beyond wealth, right? To live a prosperous life, from the words that you're using, grit, grace, and gratitude sort of feeds into that. I just thought I'd throw that in. So that became sort of a hallmark for the creation of your business. At what point in time did you figure out that those three words really describe that initial experience that you were going through?
Yeah, I think it's when you start waking up in the middle of the night not worrying about, you know, where you're going to get the business. You focus on what you need to do to get the business. And so I think it's there's a real interesting shift. They say if you ever want to speak to someone in the middle of the night, call an entrepreneur.
Oh, gosh.
And so typically we're awake, but now I'm awake about exciting things like managing growth and expanding the business.
Yeah, which is a very different thing. One of the favorite questions I love asking an entrepreneur is actually, and then even CEOs that I work with, is it's 3 or 4 in the morning. You wake up. What are you thinking about?
Right, exactly. And in the early days, I was thinking about what wasn't going to work.
Okay.
And now I'm thinking about what's working and how to leverage that into something bigger.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. Over the last 3 years, your business has grown and expanded. So what's the challenges that you're having today? Because really, from what you're saying, the first challenge you had was, where am I going to get the work? And oh my gosh, probably, what am I doing? Like that sense of overwhelmness. I'm guessing, you can share if you wish. But now it sounds to me like it's more like, okay, we've got the work and we're expanding. So what are the challenges of handling a growing business?
Right. So at the front end, you sort of throw paint at the wall and see what sticks in the market. So once we got that far, we decided where we were going to focus in and we started to get the traction. The minute we added additional associates to join us who have a whole bunch of experience and knowledge, all of a sudden you've got more paint to throw at the wall. And so at where we're at in our business being year 3, it's really trying to maintain that focus now because we are getting traction. So you don't want to bleed out type thing.
Yeah. So when you say bleed out, are you getting traction is that clients, explain to me what traction is.
Yeah. First. So I think this is really interesting of how individuals define success. And so, you know, success to me and to my business partner in our business, EI Advantage, was to, of course, make a living, but also be able to move the marker for people, whether that was individually or organizations as a whole. And so when you start seeing some of that coming back, when people coming back with testimonials or sharing with you what's changed for them, it's a good feeling. And feeling good's okay.
It is. And yeah. I think with that, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back and talk about the importance of feeling good, getting traction, and not bleeding out. It's Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Janice Geer. Now, Janice, just before the break, we were talking a little bit about the importance of getting traction, the importance of not making sure your business doesn't bleed out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in year three now, right? So it is all about traction. It's about making better business decisions. Mm-hmm. That's the way I'm going to put it in the big three, the three words, right? Better business decisions, all the B words. Basically, the other part, I think, was it having fun or did you say feeling good?
Feeling good. Yeah.
So let's go back to the whole feeling good concept. What did you mean by feeling good?
I think you, you're lucky in the sense when you're an entrepreneur, when you're able to realize that you're actually living in your core purpose. Is that what you love to do and your work is aligned entirely with your value system. And you're able to just go and do it and feel like you're contributing, making a living, and just feeling satisfied at the end of the day.
That's a very different experience, isn't it? It's interesting because I know one of the exercises that I bring clients through is core value exercise and guiding principle exercise. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see that sometimes when you're working with groups that the organizational values and principles, the team's values and principles, and the individual values and principles are not aligned and what that creates. So with that scenario, what does that create in an organization? If you were working with an organization that had that scenario, what would you say?
Yeah, you get conflict for sure, and differing opinion, and not everyone rowing in the same direction. And I think that spoke really well. That when we decided we were ready to expand and add some people into our circle of two between my business partner and I, we really did talk about the people we selected about their values. Because we knew they were competent. We knew they were accredited. We knew that, that they could do good work.
They got the skills. Yeah, they got the capability.
You got it. But, you know, we didn't. We wanted to make sure that they were ready to come along with us on our ride.
Okay.
And keep that very close.
That, you know, that's actually quite important principle because I just had that same conversation this week. We were talking about people and culture and versus human resources. And it sounds to me like you're focusing more on people and culture for your business as opposed to just trying to structure your own human resource side of your business. Is that a good way to put it?
That's perfect. And we are a virtual organization, so our team is dispersed across Canada. So you have to make an extra effort to remain, you know, connected with people quite regularly, and we've implemented some ways to do that.
So we were talking earlier on about traction. What do you think are some of the things that have allowed you over the last 3 years to get the as a successful female entrepreneur, which I'm excited to say, by the way, what do you think are some of the things that have helped you and your partner gain some traction?
On the personal side, it's about willing to step into it, really. And seek resources, the Women's Enterprise Center, for example, which is a fantastic organization. We also, but I think the key thing, Richard, is just to do it. You just have to do it.
Isn't that weird? You know, you just
weird.
Have to do it. Like, you got to get up out of bed, off the sofa, or whatever it is, and just go do it.
Yeah.
But then you got to sort of figure out what is go do it mean. But anyway, but go ahead with that thinking.
Yeah. So it's, you know, whether you're going to go in and be a panel speaker for the first time to try and talk about what you're doing or enter in a circle that you're not quite sure you're an expert on, it's stretching yourself. And most times in the morning, I probably feel like throwing up just before I go and do it. But then once I've done it, I'm like, okay, that wasn't that hard. And by challenging yourself, you know, we get the benefit of growing the business and growing ourselves internally.
Now, there's an interesting question I got to ask because you threw it in there. You said most of the time in the morning you get up, you feel like throwing up. What is Janice's sort of go do it morning routine?
Right, right.
You didn't know I was going to ask that one.
Yeah.
I have one too, right? So that's why I wanted to bring it up,
yeah.
Right? So.
Well, what you realize is these feelings of, you know, I'm going to throw up if I have to go step into this this new space, is you learn that that's just part of the Janus process in this case, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny now, having worked with my business partner for 3 years, if we're doing something jointly, we know we both have a process.
Okay.
And we have to agitate about it, and then we go and we do it, and it's fine.
Oh my gosh, so. Agitate. I love the word agitate. It's like it's like looking at a washing machine, right? Like everything gets agitated in the washing machine. I think that's, sorry, I can't help but these things go through my mind when I hear certain words. I agree, everybody does have a process, and the reason why I sort of raised it with you was the idea that, yeah, you know, whatever it's 30 minutes or 60 minutes, whatever your morning process is, mm-hmm. you have to go and set up your day. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's one about going through your feelings, you know, especially when you go throw up, or just sort of getting focused. What helps you get focused at the beginning of the day?
Sure. So it's that nice cup of coffee, a little bit of exercise, then a nice cup of coffee, yeah. And taking a look at what my day looks like.
Yeah.
And in the business that we're in the business of being in service of other people,
yes,
in terms of helping them develop. Mm. So that sort of front end piece of my day is really important so that I can show up and be the best I can be for my clients.
And I think that's, I wanted to speak to that, mm-hmm. because I think it's just so important to have that sort of front end piece, because jumping out of bed and then pulling a comb across your head, like the Beatles song, right? I always go through those lyrics, and everybody's been listening to me lately, probably been thinking I'm really into the Beatles, but it's just a song that keeps going through my mind. It's not really probably the way to be set for success when you start off your morning. You, mm-hmm. you talk about having a process mm-hmm. to go through. You mentioned about a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have a partner. I can't imagine that as business partners, you're both identically the same. So let's talk a little bit about having a partnership. What's so unique about your partnership?
I think we are very fortunate in the sense that what I'm strong in and she is strong in is very different. And my background, as you know, corporate human resources, her background, she's an academic. And so she's can do research, evaluation, and publishing of our work, and can help create our products to be spectacular. You know, instructional design and that type of thing. So we fell very naturally into different roles.
So it sort of sounds to me like it's the blend between, well, you said it's the blend between the academic versus the corporate, which is a very two different worlds, and very much so. Yeah. Complementary skills or complementary alliances, it's the word I like, but complementary skills. Who else on your team, from a support perspective, who else on your team do you have that sort of really complements your fold in taking care of maybe your back office and that? Mm-hmm. Are you guys still doing that yourself, or have you now reached out and sort of developed an infrastructure for yourself?
Yeah, so we have, we're supported by excellent social media assistant, Starling Social. Allison Shane.
Allison Shane. Hi, Allison. You're absolutely wonderful. I'm looking forward to having you back on the show again.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And also accounting support. Stuart Stryjack is his name.
Okay.
He's doing a wonderful job for us. And we're planning on a year from now adding in a virtual assistant.
Yeah, VA.
Yeah.
Right?
But I do have these children, you know, who I do put to work.
Well, you did say they're 17 and 20. Was that the? Yeah. So they're just at that right age. You know what? It's interesting from the technology perspective. I'll share this with you. Is my youngest son was my technology support until this year. Now life has sort of branched off, and he's doing his own thing, and he's quite heavily involved in university studies, and just doesn't have the time. But I've now added somebody else too. So there's always a way.
Yes, it's the next piece,
It's the next piece. Yeah. We're going to take a short break. Great. I love the fact that you're just sort of sharing with me these little nuggets, right, from basically finding your way to business development to basically creating traction and just being really happy at what you're doing and finding good people that blend with your culture. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have a further discussion about your business and what you guys are doing next. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I've been hanging out with Janice Gear. Janice, you know, we didn't mention the name of your company, I don't think. Or did we?
Well, it's EI Advantage.
EI Advantage. Mm-hmm. For EI Advantage, I mean, you've been developing this company over the last 3 years. In the last few segments, you just shared a wealth of information, different ideas about finding your way, getting traction, connecting with your culture, your beliefs and values, even with the people that you are bringing into the fold, so to speak, mm-hmm. As you grow your business operations. For the future, where do you see EI Advantage going in the future? What are your future plans?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've just started to branch into doing larger projects around succession planning with organizations within the corporate sector, and really excited to see that coaching and emotional intelligence training is going deeper in organizations. They're starting to plan for the next set of leaders, and there's some gaps there from a demographic perspective. On the other side, we're also doing some work in academia and working with students, trying to bring emotional intelligence into the fold, into some of the curriculum in universities. So that's our focus. And I think the most exciting thing is when something else comes up, because something always does, we now, if it is not fitting within that particular focus in one way or another, we're passing. So our focus is going to be becoming an expert in this area.
Okay. Yeah. So you do have some plans in that respect. Mm-hmm. Do you hope to add additional consultants to your repertoire? Is mm-hmm. that the right word? Your portfolio? Yeah. Maybe portfolio is the better word.
Yeah. We call it the roster.
The roster. Okay. I was looking for a word. Thank you.
You know, yeah. Hockey teams have a roster.
We
have a roster. Yeah. And I mean, for us to grow from 2 to 7 is a big jump.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big deal in 3 years.
Yeah, and there's all the process realignment and that type of thing that we have to do internally in the business. But it's possible. I'm not sure. I think we're going to see where we go. And the nice thing about it is the model is so flexible that there's lots of people who want to join us. I'm not worried about finding excellent coaches to join us. And so we'll just let the model play out for a bit.
Yeah. Maybe it's more about finding the right coach to join you as opposed to excellent coaches to join you.
Yeah, that
you
know, too.
You want
that
a bit
too.
Of both, right?
Yeah.
Based on the whole cultural thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good statement to make around your business. I previously built a virtual business in another province and very much the same model as you, but as the market changed and as I changed and moved on. From that, it was a lot of fun at the time. It was a lot of fun. So you can have some great opportunities there, no doubt. Basically, when you look at one of the things that you and I talked about earlier on, is vacations. I'm going to bring up vacations with you because I know that when you started out in your business, you left the corporate world to form your own brave world in business for yourself. I know that yourself and your family, and bringing up a personal one, sort of made some key changes in order to make your dreams come true. Mm-hmm. When you think about those changes that help you make your dreams come true, how have things now morphed again for you?
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you mentioned that. I would definitely say year one and year two, there were not family vacations. And this year three, there's been 3.
Oh my gosh. So you caught up.
We've caught up. Now, it's funny. 3 family vacations with my laptop still strapped to my side. The ultimate dream, I guess, will be to keep going and have that time where I can truly step away.
Yeah, turn it off, right?
Turn
it off. That would be the ultimate thing.
Yeah.
It's interesting you would say that because I have a family vacation coming up too, going to Florida, which will be the first time for me. And you think I would have gone by now. But at the same point in time, I think the laptop will probably be with me.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things guaranteed somewhere in there. There's a beach, a chair, and my laptop.
and I think when it's your own business, it's if you don't have it with you, you almost feel like you're missing something a little bit too because you're so vested. So it doesn't feel like work, Richard.
Yeah. Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah. Is that allowed? It seems pretty pretty wonderful.
If you could do anything, just anything in your life, what would it be?
I think I'm doing it.
Oh, you are. Oh, the wrong question.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're actually fulfilling your dream. You're living the dream. Is that what we're saying?
I'm thinking I'm living the dream. I think it's a matter of getting things to the next level where you're right. You do need to step away and you need to make sure that you're caring for yourself and caring for the people you care about. So somewhere balance will have to be redefined.
Isn't that amazing? It's sort of like a moving boundary, isn't it? Yeah. What balance actually might look like for you. And that makes a lot of sense indeed. Tell me something you'd like to eliminate from your life.
Probably the administration of, you hit it the nail on the head earlier. It's we're almost at that time to get a virtual assistant and start, you know, organizing that part of it.
Make sure everything's actually organized and away you go. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, when it comes to business, there's lots of different facets of business. We really haven't spent a lot of time talking about the sales and marketing side of your component. Mm-hmm. When you guys look at your sales versus your marketing side, what are some of the key things that you focus in on?
Well, the first thing is our business is focused around knowledge, emotional intelligence, leadership. So we knew at the outset that content was king and queen in our case.
Yeah.
And so we put heavy emphasis and invested on the social media and content development side. And that has, that's been the ringer for us. And it takes time, it takes traction, and now we're starting to see the ROI in terms of, you know, leads through social media like LinkedIn and things like that. We're actually starting to get people pick it up.
When you say leads, are these people that are in a position to make decisions and decide whether they want to hire you or not?
Yes, and that's the nice thing is that, you know, we do get an inquiry around, we like what we're doing, can we connect? So I can honestly say we've translated that into business.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that's really good, actually, because I think there's a lot of companies out there who wonder if there's any real value still of investing in social media. Mm. Earlier this week, I attended a presentation on LinkedIn, and really the professional who's teaching people how to use LinkedIn to get business, he was very much about being focused, knowing exactly what your offering is, knowing exactly who you're trying to attract, and then having some kind of follow-up process.
Yes, and there's that, and of course, there's the good old networking. I'm a believer no one's ever going to hand you a bag of money unless they've met you.
Yeah.
So getting out there and actually listening to people. The sales side of it, I don't really think that we do sales anymore. We go, we listen to people, and if there's a connection there, we often say to them, you know, how can we help you with that?
There's a lot of buzz about sales now that sales, the approach to sales has really changed in the professional world. It's no longer about going and knocking on doors and trying to make sales. It's about content and creating relationships and having meaningful conversations.
Yeah. And accepting rejection and understanding that rejection isn't personal rejection of you. It could be it's not the right time, they don't have the budget, it costs too much, whatever. It could be a number of things.
A number of things, and they'll be willing to move on. If someone wanted to get in contact with you, how would they go about doing that?
You can reach our website at www.the-ei-advantage.ca.
Awesome. You're a great guest. I thoroughly enjoy having you on the show. Let me try to say that again. I enjoy having you on the show. I'm sort of going to move towards a few things right now. Often I'd like to ask the guests if they had sort of a tip for our listeners, maybe in like 10 seconds. What would you give as a tip?
Go for it and have two things, a vision and execution.
Awesome.
You need them both.
You need them both to make it happen. Janice, thank you for joining me today. Awesome. You're a great guest. Of course, I want you to think in terms of the guests out there. I want you to think about questions you might have, a thought, a question, an idea about the show. Just send me it at richard@setforsuccess.ca. Thank you again, Janice, for joining us. Guests, thank you for tuning in. And I want you to remember something really important, to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.